Welcome back to another episode of the Transform Your Life podcast. I'm Angela Houck, and we got a great episode right around the corner here, but I wanted to make sure that I gave you guys all the updates and let you know kind of what was going on so that you're in the loop about some exciting things that I have coming down the pipeline. So, number one, Team Ant Training Camp. We are going to be open for registration on Monday, July 2nd, and there's only a limited amount of spots at camp, guys. We're only selling the camp to 20 people, which is going to be very exclusive, very intimate, very one-on-one in terms of the interaction that you get with myself and the other people that are going to be leading the camp. So how do you make sure that you are all signed up and that you're the first to know when we open and you get all of the bonuses that are going to come from being on the VIP list? I want you to head on over to angelahouck.com/events and make sure that you fill out the form that's on there so that you're on the list. Full details are coming out in just a week or so. So I want to make sure that you're on the list, and if you want to come to camp, that you have all the info that you need to join us. So how do you know that camp is where you should be this September? It's September 22nd and 23rd, and who is it for? So this camp is for the woman that is frustrated because she just can't get a particular muscle to grow. She's tried every damn shoulder exercise. She's tried every damn glute exercise. She just can't get the physique that she wants. If that is you, you need to be at the Team Ange Training Camp. I'm gonna take you all through activation, really help you make sure that every way that you're performing an exercise is in the direction of your goals. So if you really want to have those round glutes, or you really wanna have a defined shoulder cap, execution is everything, guys. It's not how much weight you're throwing around, it's really how are you executing the movement. And I wanna give you the support, the guidance, and the teaching to really help excel your physique right in the direction of where you want to go. Camp is for the woman who wants friendships with other like-minded women who really understand the lifestyle. So if you want to build up your confidence in the gym or build up your confidence with your lifting, you want to build up your confidence with your nutrition. Perhaps you want to learn more about how can I make more high-protein snacks and how can I really rock my pre- and post-workout nutrition? How can I set up my macros for a build? How do I go through a cut? When do I know when and how do I do a diet break? Like, all of those little specific things are what we're gonna do, guys, at camp. At camp, it is gonna be a very intimate setting. It's only 20 people. And in a setting like that and really small groups, we're gonna be able to connect on a deeper level. You're gonna get that attention that you want from somebody who you trust, and I am just so overjoyed. I cannot wait for this to happen. We are just having these amazing meetings, planning such a fun weekend for all of you guys. And I really, really hope that I get to meet you there and I get to hug you and that, yeah, we just get to make those memories together. So all the details to come, but you need to be on the VIP early bird list or I cannot guarantee that you're gonna be able to come to camp, and that would make me so darn sad. So angelahouck.com/events and make sure that you're on the list. And just one more quick announcement. Today's episode is brought to you by 4 Sigmatic Coffee. You guys know that I have been raving and so ecstatic to share this coffee with all of you guys. So 4 Sigmatic is the coffee that has been able to make me super productive, light my life on fire, without that crazy crash that caffeine can bring. So I've talked a lot about lion's mane and chaga and the power that it has had to rock my mornings. So today I actually want to talk about one of my other favorite products that they make, and that is the hot cacao. And that is what I like to drink right before bed. It's like a hot chocolate and it has reishi mushrooms in it. And that essentially puts you into a deep state of relaxation, really helps you fall asleep. You guys know from prep struggles that sleep has been something that I've been really working on, getting everything balanced in that department. So hot cacao is a really great warm beverage that you can have right before bed to get that restful sleep, to just put you in the state that's ready to go to bed. So those are my top two favorite products from Forsomatic right now. Lion's Mane and Chaga is my morning, and then the hot cacao is what I love to drink at night. Links are gonna be in the show notes for this, guys, but you're gonna wanna make sure that you go to Forsomatic.com. You wanna use my discount code so that you can save some money. So make sure that you check out the show notes. All the info is gonna be in there, and I hope that you guys enjoy the power of mushrooms as much as what I have. I certainly have noticed feeling really great without that dip in energy levels and then good restful sleep. All right, guys, enough of my blabbering. We're gonna get into today's conversation, and that is with Jenna Smith, where we talk all about how to become happier, how to be calm and centered and become in alignment with yourself, how to integrate the mind with the body and the heart and the spirit all together so you're feeling like your unit is really functioning optimally. We talk about how to use and feel emotions to heal emotional pain. And Jenna is just this amazing being. She's so joyful, and today's conversation is really gonna help you step into your power, your purpose, your truth, and your joy. Let's get into it. Jenna Smith runs an international business via coaching, counseling, shamanic, intuitive services, including one-on-one sessions, group programs, live retreats, and speaking. She is also the creator of the You Are the Manual self-development program, which we're going to be talking about in today's conversation. It is her mission to connect people to their unshakable center where all authentic knowing lives. Through understanding and integrating how to use our mind, body, heart, and spirit intelligence systems, we can get out of the muck of confusion and into our truth, purpose, power, and joy. She says, we come home. So welcome, Jenna. It is a pleasure to have you with me today.
I love it, Ange. I always love hearing my bio back. I'm like, oh my goodness.
That is me. Awesome. Oh, that's so good. So good. So Jenna, what is your story? Who are you, and how did you get to where you're at right now?
Whoa. Okay. Well, Ange and I met because we're in the same sort of like small rural Ontario town in a similar area. I live in Goderich, Ontario, and I grew up in Goderich, Ontario. So, you know, small town thinking. I never really had small town thinking, which, you know what I mean? Like, I was always thinking bigger as a little kid. And especially when I grew up, you know, moving into intuitive services and working with spirit, I was very aware. Like, I had a very in tune intuition. I could feel what people were feeling. And, you know, nowadays people are like, that's so cool. And no, it's not cool when you're young and you're growing up and nothing makes sense. So a big part of what brought me to doing the work that I do was that life didn't make sense. And I, like, at the end of the day, everything, every single training I took, road I turned down, I call it following your soul breadcrumbs, like every single thing I did was in some way trying to make life make sense. And so that's what brought me to leaving Goderich. I wanted to be a professional singer. That's what like really drove me, connected me to my soul and my spirit. I'm like, yes, this is who I am. And, you know, Canadian music business is a little bit different. There wasn't exactly a lot of money behind it. And that was when like electronic downloading came in. So like Napster was getting sued the same year I was coming out into the music business. So it was just this big kerfuffle that I'm so grateful for that it didn't work out, because I found my way to, you know, shamanic work. I met a shaman mentor in my 20s and then connected to indigenous wisdom and earth medicine. And just, it felt like it made so much sense to me. I was raised Catholic and something felt disconnected because everything was up there. And I really felt at home in nature, like nature made sense to me. So finding shamanism, finding self-development, spirituality, self-help books up the frickin' wazoo. I mean, like Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, reading all the books, you know, dreaming of a different life. And eventually did my spiritual psychotherapy training because everyone's like, you have this ability to help people, like, they talk, I hear things, and I kind of hear between the lines, if that makes sense. I hear spaces and possibilities that other people don't see or hear, and then help reflect that back to people in a way that they can then see their next steps or clear possibilities that weren't available to them before. Because as I said about that muck. So did that training, you know, and with spiritual psychotherapy, and what makes it different than other psychotherapy is the understanding that we are multidimensional beings. We have a mind, body, heart, and spirit. We're not just our mind and emotions. So there's a sense of sometimes if you're feeling depressed or anxious, it could be a spiritual experience as well. It could be a spiritual message as well. And so I really loved that component of it. But ultimately, it was still focusing on the past and it was still focusing on problems. And that eventually led to when I was in my later 20s, this whole thing called coaching was just starting to happen. And I had stayed in Toronto after doing my music degree. So I was there in the big city. And this whole coaching thing came along and I started to sing again. And my agent at the time said, you need to talk to this guy. So I had this Skype call similar to what Ange and I are doing on Skype. And he just blew my mind. Like this whole transformational coaching world was completely new to me. And the type of coaching it is called ontological coaching, which is the study of being and our relationship to reality. And I could actually feel him through the email. Like I could, like I read the email and felt something different and unique and was like, whoa, what is this thing? Ended up doing his training. And that really was all the puzzle pieces coming together by the time I was in my 30s. And I was like, whoa, I can work online and I can speak. And now I can integrate singing and my showmanship abilities on stage back into everything. So I felt crazy unglued and I had no idea where my life was going in my 20s. And it just went loop and all came together to have this online international business and now bridging into, you know, speaking at events. And it's a pretty wild ride, but I mean, that's me in a nutshell. That's what I went from Goderich, Ontario, and then I moved back to Goderich, Ontario now because I love being in nature and I can work anywhere in the world.
I love it. That's absolutely amazing. Now you're talking about you went through this big transformation. So who was Jenna before and who is Jenna now in terms of that transformation component?
I love that question. No one's asked me that before. Okay, so good. Before I was incredibly insecure. Like I literally stayed in my closet one summer between grade 5 and grade 6. I had such low self-esteem. I felt so, you know, I didn't know what these words were. All I knew was the idea of going outside of my house felt scary, or like I was so insecure. I didn't like just, it was crazy how insecure I felt. I had some family problems with my brother and my dad. And so a lot of things led to that insecurity, but I had this base of complete fear of life and other people that if people meet me now, they would never believe, but that's true. And from that core of insecurity and just feeling so unsafe in the world as myself and not sure how to be and all of these things, I found like this defense of being the smart one and being the good girl. And, you know, as long as I played these roles, then I would get praise and people would like me. So the singing even fell into that, like, oh, I'm a good singer, therefore I'm worthy. You know, everything had sort of a worthiness price tag to it. I was always seeking this validation from other people, from boyfriends. I've definitely transformed that. I mean, I do not feel like I need a man's validation to feel like a strong, worthwhile woman, you know? And so all of those things, like, so beforehand, I was also had that voice in my head was really erratic. Like, oh my God, there's stuff to do and I need to do this. And, or I'll have a conversation with somebody at some point and then I'll replay it in my head over and over and over again, constantly second guessing everything I did. For the most part, you know, like really different from who I am now, who is the, what I say in the bio is your unshakable center. Through shamanism and through transformation, I discovered like our core being is worthy. Like who we are at our core is already perfect and done, and everything we need is in that space. And it takes a lot to cut through the noise and move through the emotional stuff stuck in our body to access that, not as a knowing, but as a being. But trust me, going from who I was before and who I am now, I like you couldn't pay me enough to go back there.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of seeing that person and coming into alignment with your true authentic self, what are the first steps for people if they're like, I don't even know where I'm supposed to go in terms of getting to this place of being centered or being grounded? Like, what, where do people start?
Well, that's an awesome question as well. The place to start would be, I have three of my favorite practices that I do that I think anyone can do as much as they think they can. Like some form of meditation, which when you're first beginning doesn't mean not thinking, and it doesn't mean that you're magically going to feel peaceful. For the most part, when you meditate and get still, you're going to have a lot of voices in your head coming at you from all different directions and perhaps a lot of uncomfortable feelings in your body. If you're in your body, most people aren't even in their body, or they might not even know what I mean by saying that. But the first step would be to take that time to breathe. And, you know, a lot of my clients, you know, find the sort of Oprah Deepak meditations or, you know, these things that they can follow. So I highly recommend, and I do have a downloadable meditation on my website, jennasmithcoaching.com, of connecting to yourself. And so for a beginner, my advice is it won't happen right away. You're going to second guess yourself. You're going to think you're doing it wrong. All of the voices in your head are going to get louder before you find your core true voice. And how I differentiate is like, the voices in your head are like, oh, I should be this. I got to do laundry and I got to do this. And I don't even know why I'm doing this. I need to do that. Like, it's like, you know, I think everyone knows what that feels like. And it's kind of like playing ping pong. You have one thought and then another thought and then another thought and then another thought. And all these bubbles and files are open. That's the mind being disembodied and not centered to your core being. That's just what it's like. But your body, like when you actually do access your center, if anybody remembers those magic eight balls, that's like this big eight ball, like a pool ball, and then you flip it over and then like an answer arises and just reveals itself. That's what it feels like when you're connecting to your core center self. It's just like a, and it's just direct. There's no back and forth. It's just like, go to the party or don't eat that extra cookie or... Like, it doesn't matter what the answer is. It could be the most simple answer, but it's direct and it's simple. But it requires us to take that time with ourselves, like any relationship that matters. If I'm going to take care of a plant, I need to take care of that plant. If I'm going to take care of kids, I'm going to take care of kids. You know, we need to do that for ourselves. That's the first step, is to take some time every day. And it could be 2 minutes. And if you're a parent and you've got kids everywhere, it could be in the bathroom. You know, you just stay in the bathroom that bit longer, or in the car before you go into the house, you just take those 2 minutes. And I'm a big, big, big believer. I am an advocate for weaving these things in and not making it another thing to do. So, you know, you've just got the groceries, you got into the driveway and you take 2 minutes. Like all of those little moments that you can access yourself are going to add up to a bigger connection overall.
Definitely. Sounds a lot like a lot of the things we talk about, even with introducing like habits to lose weight or habits to make exercise something that you're doing on a regular basis, right? Just those little things, just those little daily check-ins that that will add up to something a little bit bigger. Now, with those things that you mentioned there, Jenna, would you be able to tell our audience if tapping is something that you use to do those little check-ins with yourself? And if you do, tell the audience a little bit more about what tapping is.
Okay. I am not an EFT practitioner per se, but I do utilize tapping. Have you done a show on tapping before?
I have a girlfriend in my network who is a big proponent of it. And then I had heard a little more about it through Gabrielle Bernstein.
Yes. Okay. So emotional freedom technique. I'll just give a geek out version of it.
Sure. You would know more than me about it for sure. That would be fantastic.
Tapping was created actually more along the lines of academia in studying psychotherapy. Somebody, Gary Craig, discovered that he actually had far more acupressure points, but wow, these points actually can connect somebody to their body and help move emotions and all of these things because of the energy centers. And our body's full of energy centers. Why I think, and then it turned into this whole thing, a bunch of key players started to pick up on it, and tapping did really, really become much more popular. Why I love anything that works. I believe do what works and what you're called to do, and like hence the you are the manual thing. For tapping, I love that it gives your mind something to do. It's almost like a babysitter. Tap here, tap here, tap here, say this, say that because I've been doing this for close to 20 years now. I started when I was 15. I forgot to mention that. When I was 15, I studied Reiki and I was in a car accident and I had chronic pain. And, you know, that's what really got me going on consciousness, even though I was from a small town. So, you know, like following that manual and following anything that will work is what I really, really believe in. So anything that's going to give your mind something to do following a meditation, the other component to tapping is actually activating those body energetic centers and that they are really a technology. Now, people, I don't believe everything works for everyone. I think that you have to be a self-anthropologist. That's what I call it. An anthropologist, you know, like those Disney narrated things where they're like, the gecko gets up and goes here and he eats this and he does this. Like just this observation of yourself that you're aware of who you are, what works for you, what doesn't work for you based on your emotions. So tapping is a great tool and technique, and I use it every so often. I also use it to really amplify intentions, like anything I'm trying to bring into my life. Like I'm now on stages, integrating and elevating millions everywhere. Like I find all the right people, like those types of intentions that I want to magnetize into my life. I use tapping for that as well. So it can be used for clearing, which most people use it for. Like I deeply and completely love and accept myself is one of the core ones because that's our core wound that totally messes us up. As I said, I've suffered from that as well. That type of self-soothing helps us to get back to that center. So tapping can get us there, as can, you know, I do journaling, as can listening to a great song or doing Kundalini yoga. Like there's so many tools that I highly, highly believe in being a self-anthropologist, trying something on for more than a month, and then seeing the change it makes in your life.
I love it. Those are fantastic. Now, what about other tools to become calmer? So somebody who maybe finds that they're really anxious or really stressed out, do you have any tools in your toolkit that you would suggest that they try?
Absolutely. So anxiety itself is not being present. So aspects of ourselves are in the future or in the past. And when that happens to a tipping point, let's say most of us is everywhere else but here, which is what most of society does suffer from. You know, you're at the meeting at 9 a.m., but you're also thinking ahead next week, but you're also thinking of your, you know, you're everywhere but here. That is often accompanied by a feeling of anxiety because we can't possibly be in all those places at once. And we get this feeling of anxiety because we're hoping to do all of these things, even though we're not even here, if that makes any sense at all. But so the tool to help with that, I wanted to explain what anxiety really is the feeling of, I'm not over there. There's something else I need to be doing, but this right here, right now. And it builds and builds and builds. So that first starts with, there's a meditation I do where I have people close their eyes and just take a deep breath and be okay that there is a gabillion thoughts in your head. First, like just have totally accept that we're a very mind dominant society. And I do an exercise with people where I have them close the non-important files, like what you're going to do next week and what's going to happen here. Like anything that you cannot actually control or impact in that moment, to close it down. And then every time you do so, take a deep breath and say, I'm now bringing back any part of me that isn't here. I'm bringing it back here now with this breath. And you're breathing yourself back into the moment. Because when you're in the moment, you're accessing that core intelligence that I talk about. You're accessing your ability to feel capable and resourced so that those feelings can now balance those feelings of anxiety, the anxiety of, oh my gosh, this and that, and you get all amped up. And I was just talking to my cable internet company and I was getting all amped up and I was like, rah, and feelings of helplessness and you don't know how it's going to go. And then I went for a walk. Because as a self-anthropologist, I was like, okay, I can listen to a song I like, I can sing, I can pet my cat. These are the things that I have learned will like balance my frequency out. And I can share more about frequency too, but just balance me out, return me back to my center. I could go and meditate, but I felt too much amped up energy that meditation doesn't work necessarily. So I went for a walk and I just slowly let the thoughts slow down and I focused more on the feelings of the sun on my face. I focused more on hearing the leaves and being present. And as I did that, I literally started to unravel from the feeling. And then the other feelings of well-being started to take its place. So for the average person who's like just freaking burnt out and stressed out, I highly recommend writing as a form of one, grounding. Grounding means, again, being here, being in your body, being in this moment, being here. And as you're writing, a lot of people, it's so funny, like it's people are like kids, right? We're all just big kids. And so I give this exercise to people. I'm like, okay, you're just going to write anything that's on your mind. You can write sideways, backwards. You can take up the whole page. It doesn't matter. You're just going to write what's going on for you. You're just going to dump it out. And the hand can't move fast enough in the beginning because our mind is going so fast. And that's so perfect because you have to get back into rhythm with yourself by writing things down. Then the connection of your heart center is actually connected to your hand. So as you're actually physically writing, you're connecting more to your heart center, which is another aspect of connecting to your center. Like your heart center is different than your mind and it has far more resources than our thinky mind. And then you're observing what you're writing. So you've got these 3 to 4 points of connection back to yourself and back to the moment when you start a journaling practice. You won't feel the relief right away. You might feel it right away, but most people don't. They're just like, well, I don't know what I did there. And then they continue with it. And then they start to feel this, oh, there's a sense of calm. There's a sense of control. There's a sense of everything isn't coming at them. I think a lot of people are so ungrounded and not in their body and they don't know what to do about that, that they don't have a feeling of like, I've got this. Right? They're just the next thing. And then there's the next thing. And then there's the next thing. So if you only live in your mind, you will never feel like you've got anything done. So the act of writing down grounds into the moment. And then you can also reflect back and be like, wow, this time last week, I was like totally off in this and that. And then you can compare it much like weight loss, much like physical measurements like that. You can actually compare and see that you have more presence, that you're having more feelings of well-being. Because if you're only in your mind, you will never, ever feel that sense of moving forward. Because the mind always sets the, what is that? When they set the finish line, like it keeps resetting the finish line. Like the finish line is always moving if you're only in your mind. If you actually write down, I want to have more feelings of well-being, and then you're tracking it somehow, and you're like, oh, I did feel better. Oh, yeah, I woke up and I was like, yeah, I'm feeling good today. And as you start to have that relationship with yourself and you're tracking it on the paper as a form of having a relationship with yourself, you can start to see, oh, okay, I'm not just like flinging around throughout the day and everything's coming at me and I'm never going to feel solid and centered. You can actually start to cultivate those feelings by just doing something as simple as writing. But as I said, I've cultivated the things in my life that help me get back to me. And I feel like a lot of them are the same. A lot of the people will be like, okay, sleeping and having a shower and, you know, meditation and walking in nature. A lot of them are really similar because human beings are the same species, you know, so we're going to have very similar things, but some of them won't be like some people are gardening or cleaning out a drawer. I'm like, that's definitely not mine. So know who you are and then make the time, prioritize the things that rebalance you, because I can guarantee that 15 minutes you take to rebalance yourself, you're going to get 4 more hours of productivity when you start prioritizing getting back to a more centered being. But first you have to know what it feels like, right? So as we were talking to people who were like, wow, how do I even start? Just start by journaling and taking some time to be silent with yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like those are some tools for integrating the mind, the body, the heart, and the spirit together, which I know is something you're really passionate about. So how else can people try to get those 4 parts of themselves working together as one system?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first answer is working together as one system means that we're living from our center. So the mind is one way of operating in the world. The heart is, how do I explain how the heart is? You know, like when you just know something, you know what I mean? Like you just kind of have a sense of a knowing, like you just know you have an intuition, you see the signs, you have a feeling, like that's the heart center is much more that. The body is one, like being here. and then you get sensations. You get, the body has a way of communicating our subconscious to our conscious mind through sensations. So the body's one thing. And then our spirit is like the animating force. So by understanding all of these aspects, that we're not just a mind dragging a body to get stuff done, which is what most people experience life as, then we can access this center point, like this core true self that we really, really are, that utilizes and has access to these four parts of us, that it doesn't have to be so overwhelming because there's all these resources available to us that most people just don't have contact with. I don't know if that answered your question.
Let's say somebody feels like their mind is almost working against them, like their mind is always racing with something, or they are somebody who only ever chases like what their body is telling them, or maybe there's somebody who like only chases like their heart. And then other people in their life are like, you always just say it's your like gut that tells you, but like, what about the logical and rational part of that? You know, like somebody, maybe they have their whole body that's running predominantly with this like one way of doing things. How do they get them all to kind of work together? That's kind of what I mean, right? Like, how do we pull so that it's not always going to be 25%, 25%, 25%, 20%. Like, that's just not realistic. No. But how do we get them so that if we are finding that we're leaning more in one direction, whether that's we're more like that thinky brain all of the time or more of that like intuition, how do we pull the other ones in to be part of our decision-making process, part of our just like everyday living?
Yep. So, okay, perfect. Okay, got it. So thinky people need to get into their body. They need to breathe and write things down and be in their body and feel their feelings and feel the sensations. They need to get into their body. So that's the answer to that. People that are too body, like if I do this and I do that and I do that, it equals this. So 1 + 1 = 2 and doopy-doopy-doo. And if I do that, everything's going to work out. They need to connect to their heart. Their heart center is going to reconnect them to their full being instead of this mechanistic way of being that they think is the way they're going to win in life, because most of society's taught them that. But then to their dismay, most of my clients are kind of like in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they're like, well, wait a second, I did it all right. I'm checking off all the boxes, but I feel like I don't know who I am, and I'm having these feelings of anxiety, depression. They're usually on medication because they're disconnected from their heart. So overly being physical means connection to the heart for sure. The spirit people that are all over the place, and I used to be that person for a little bit too. I'm like, yay, spirit. This physical world makes no sense to me, but I'm going to talk to angels and I'm just going to connect to spirit and all of those good things. And that makes more sense to me. So I have a lot of facility with spiritual connection. But what I needed to do was use my mind more strategically and use it as a tool and use it as an ally rather than think it's this prison, like a box, and you have to do this and you have to do that. Like I used my mind as the amazing tool that it is to like get things done and get focused and do something to completion. Because somebody who's overly spiritual, so-called spiritual, will be like, oh, I don't feel like it. That must be a sign. Or I stubbed my toe. That must mean I need to stop working out. Like, no, that's your that's your interpretation that's convenient for you because you aren't staying disciplined to yourself. You're going to get trials and tribulations no matter how integrated you are, because that's part of the soul journey. But you hear what I'm saying? Like, for each quadrant that you're out, there's usually another quadrant that you need to spend more time in to balance.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for with that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who cross my paths who are either like the, okay, I weigh this much and I'm going to diet for this many weeks and it's going to get me to this place. And they're really very much in that mindset or in that kind of like headspace. And so when we start to have conversations about like, why is it that you want to do it and what is like compelling you, what's beneath all of this, and what's kind of
like what's intrinsic motivation
and what's going on like internally, because this is all great and like you can send me this interest in wanting to work together, but like it's not as simple as just numbers, and people are way more complex than just numbers and the give me the training plan and give me the perfect diet and then everything should just pan out. But like beneath the surface there's like so many other layers that are so pivotal with transformation that for long-lasting sustainable change we really do need to get to kind of like the root of their relationship with food and the root of like their relationship with their body. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yes. Let's talk about transformation. So transformation is not sexy. Like, mm-hmm. let's just be real.
Yeah.
You are going to be challenged. Okay. It's worth it. It's 100% worth it. When I was talking to Ange after her competition, I was like, wow, it's so amazing to see your face and like the complete and utter joy and self-pride and nothing, playing it small and avoiding disappointment and avoiding any bad feeling whatsoever. You will never get to that feeling of elation and joy and self-relationship. Like, you are robbing yourself, and that's what I'm doing right now for my own life. I am like, no, I am not going to rob myself of my absolute best life possible. And it happens in stages, but transformation will bring up everything in you that you haven't wanted to look at.
Yes.
Everything. It is strategic and it's perfect and it's intelligent. So the intelligence of the whole thing is that everything that needs to come up to the surface will come up to the surface. So let's say do a scenario, typical dieting scenario. All right, Ange sends you your meal plan, Ange sends you your workout, all right? You're like on it. You've got it for the first week. You've got it for the second week and you're like, "Yep, I'm doing it." Then what happens? Something happens. It's either internal or external, something happens, and that's meant to bring up something within you, feelings of unworthiness or like you can't do this, or tall poppy syndrome, like who are you to do this? People start to treat you differently because you're being different. You get a lot of pushback, and it's who are you going to become in moving through the pushback that creates a transformed being.
Absolutely. And I really do think that the universe or whatever it is that you believe in simply presents you with all of these challenges and all of these things saying, if you want to get to this next freaking level, you better be ready to handle it up there. And you're not going to be able to handle it up there if you can't handle all these little balls and like things I'm going to throw at you as challenges throughout that process. Like, it's not going to allow you to get to that next level if it knows that you're not going to be able to handle being at that next level. So I see it happen a million times over where it's like people are working through a transformation and they're just like, I cannot believe all of this crap that just keeps on coming at me. Like, I imagined it in my mind, it was gonna be like this, and there was just like all of these things that happened. It's like, yes, but if you want to get to the top of the mountain and you want to be that person who's victorious, you really gotta show, you gotta show the world that you can handle all of that. And like, if it was easy getting there, everybody would just do it, but it's not. So
it's such a great, I work so much better when I'm going back and forth. It's like, when you said that, I was reminded the things, the struggles, the challenges that happen to you on the way to the thing are preparing you. They're the exact fuel. They're like, if it was a chemical equation, if you're like, I want this, whatever chemical this, I'm obviously not a chemist. If you want this end result, this tincture, you need this. The challenges, the difficult feelings actually transmute, and this is my shaman self speaking, into the usable energy for the exact thing that you've ordered from the universe. You've ordered something from the universe. Like right now, I'm like back on stages singing. It scares the shit out of me because I'm like, oh shit, you know, I'm going to be criticized. I'm, you know, what does my body look like? Do it, you know, this and that and the other thing. It's my next level again. So it brings up all of those other feelings. And why? Because that's what needs to go. It needs to be transmuted so I can fully and completely enjoy my gifts and abilities and the life that I'm creating. Otherwise, I'm on stage and constantly thinking, what's that person thinking? They're making a weird face. Like, what's the point of getting to the top and not actually being there?
For sure. Now, what about habits to become happier, Jenna? You got any things that you do or things that you've seen be successful amongst your clients. They're just those universal habits that make people happy.
Absolutely. First thing is, happiness is a fleeting feeling that you can repeat strategically, but it isn't an end goal. Mm-hmm. The end goal should be contentment with both feelings of positivity and negativity, that you are somehow good at your core, whether something positive or negative is happening. So let's just get that out there. So that's that, like, contentment piece is like, I'm good. Mm. Even whether my internet company was being nice or not, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
That type of thing. So like the things, trials and tribulations of life will go up and down, up and down, up and down. But at your core, there's an equilibration that you're good. So that's that. Happiness, here's what I recommend, is that self-anthropologist self. When do you feel lit up? And to like track, wow, I felt really good. Why? I felt really good because, oh, there was people around me that I was laughing and giggling and that, okay, great. So find more times to connect with people and people that you like, or maybe you were listening to music. Maybe you were dancing. For me, I realized I love the sound of leaves in the wind. It like does something to my body. And so the happiness thing is an experience, you know, it isn't an end goal all the time. So how can you, that would be my biggest thing. When people think it's over there, it's always over there. When I lose weight, when I stop having these feelings, like when you can be at peace with the feelings you're feeling, it doesn't mean you're going to stay in the feeling. Something comes over you and that sort of feeling of happiness can come up more and more and more. So finding those things that light you up just a little bit, that give you little bits of joy. Like I like funny animal videos. I like, and I also don't care what people think. Like that's been a big component of happiness, because if you're constantly checking out, does someone else like this too? You're going to distract yourself from what actually lights you up. Because you could be lit up by the funniest, silliest things, and someone else might think you're silly. But if it lights you up, that's the key to your happiness, because it lights you up. And when I say lit up, I mean happy. Like, it's like, oh, I feel so good when. It's just to like weave those back into your life as a priority, like your biggest priority. Because if you're a parent, your biggest priority is being a more lit up you, is being a more in your center you, because there's no amount of doing that will make up for not being there. Like when you're like in your skin, you know who you are being that daily more and more and more. That allows the experience of happiness. If you're not in your body and you're not here, you're not going to feel happy. It's always going to be over there. So that's like my biggest thing. It sounds so elusive, but the little things are, I like flowers, or I like this, or I like that. And like weave them into your life, no matter how silly they might be, because as you see them every day, you could even put it on a post-it, like beach vacation, because it makes you happy, or the last time you felt super happy, put it on a post-it somewhere. And it reminds you of that feeling. And it's that vibration, that feeling of feeling it, that then that's the law of attraction stuff, right? That feeling, that beingness of being there, even if you're not there, allows more things like that to come into your life, even if it's not the beach vacation. It could simply be, you know, you go out to lunch with your colleagues and then you order an umbrella drink or something. Like something that weaves what you know lights you up and makes you happy into your so-called day-to-day life is so key.
I love that. I love that so much. That's the big self-awareness piece too for people, right? Is the, I think so often people just are so, they're not even self-aware, right? Like
no.
They've mm-hmm. lost sight of who they used to be and who, I don't know, I look now because I'm reminded of it so much because I have a 2-year-old son. I look now at him and the silly little things that make him like the happiest pumpkin in the entire world. And he is like so lit up about the simplest of things. And he is just like the best reminder of it. Right. And that's where I think kids are freaking fantastic, as much as they can be frustrating at times. It's like, that is a reminder every day of like, remember what lights you up and do it more often. And the things that don't light you up, don't fucking do them.
Yeah, and don't rehash them in your head. Like, no. I made very clear I was frustrated by this phone call. Okay, get over it. Get off it. Done. Most people play it over. Like, if you could flip the script and just replay all of your happiest things, the amount that you worry, you will instantly change your life.
Absolutely. 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 Now, in your business and what it is that you do right now, Jenna, I know that you've got something on the go that is particularly lighting you up, and I just want to hear all about it. So dump it on me. Shameless plug time. Tell me what you've been up to.
Well, as I've been planting some seeds, like I myself, like I've had a full one-on-one coaching business for close to 7 years now. And that makes me really happy to bring people to their own dreams and their own happiness and the center that we're talking about here and that unshakable center. And then I realized in 2016, I was just like, I'm kind of bored. I mean, isn't that funny? I'm transforming people's lives. Sounds boring. And I sat down and I thought, what does Jenna want? And it was the singing and the stages. And then I got this spiritual download, we call in the spiritual world. It's like I got a download because it's literally like you downloaded a song. Like you just download and suddenly a new information is suddenly available to you. It's very interesting. So it was like, you can create your universe. It was this sense of, if you can do whatever you want, what is it? And it just like, it vibrated all my cells. And I was like, oh, this is so exciting. And then it means everyone else can create their own universe. And which means like, nothing's better than the other thing. So if I do me, this is like authenticity, like to ground it back down to this reality. This is like being authentic. If I'm me and you're you, Ange, me being fully me doesn't take away from you being fully you, because you do you, I do me, and then we get enhanced by the more that we are ourselves together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what creating your universe is based on. So I was going to create a 6-week program, and at first it was going to call From Busy to Being, and now I've decided to call it Rule Your Universe. And as soon as I called it Rule Your Universe, like From Busy to Being, I made the banner and I started writing it up, and I was like so bored. So I was like, okay, we need to redo this. I sat on my meditation cushion and I got Rule Your Universe, and it's a 6-week program of what I've learned about like discovering this center, confidence, like unshakable confidence, how to manifest based on your own core self. You don't want to manifest willy-nilly. You want to tune to this core center and then be like, if I could create a universe and I am like the creator, what is that? And most people never even consider a question that big. Mm-hmm. And we go there together, and that unshakable confidence, healthy entitlement. What is it to be powerful in your own life? Because for a lot of people, their power is in silence. Their power is in being invisible. Like, it's like owning so who you are and then crafting this universe around you. Another big thing is like your defenses. Like, who are you not going to be in this universe? Like, if you can create from zero, from nothing, you're not bringing any of your bad habits with you. Who is that? And this exploration is so amusing to people, because it's suddenly like you're a kid in kindergarten again, much like your son, Ange. Like, possibilities, just what are the possibilities? Like, not even thinking about how you're going to get there, but you just like start playing in possibility of like, wow, if I could create my universe, what would it be? And this is how I've lived my life. Like, I never thought I'd have an online business and then be able to live in nature and then be able to eventually sing again, because it all weaves together. But this is what comes from creating your universe. So for 6 weeks, I have 6 different modules that go through exactly those steps to begin to create your own universe and rule your universe, like you be in control of how your universe goes for you. Thus, making happiness, it's all going to be around happiness. It's all going to be around like your soul, like your core self knows exactly your purpose. It knows exactly what your gifts are. And when you tune to that and then create from there, you don't have to race after happiness. You don't have to drink. You don't need addictions. You don't need to control everything. You don't need to control other people or judge other people or gossip about them. You're going to be too busy living your awesome life. You won't even think about those things. So there's this master magical fairy wand that is possible when you get to this core self and you create from there, that I've created a 6-week program around. I'm really excited about it.
Love it. So let's run through 2 lists. The first list is, who in the world is this program for? Like, who should sign up? But then I also want a second list. And the second list is, who is this not for? So who is like the person that should definitely not sign up for this?
Yes. Okay. Well, I can say that right now. If you're a super beginner and like what I've said so far is like, I have no idea what this chick is talking about. Like, that's not for those people. So that's an easy answer to that question. The You Are the Manual online study program would be a perfect fit for somebody in that category. Like, that sounds scary. I have no idea how I would do that. If it sounds like totally confusing, everything I just said, it wouldn't be for that person. If you're dealing with anxiety and depression and you're just like totally on burnout mode, not for you. Because if you're in burnout, you need to learn how to regenerate first. And that's what You Are the Manual skills help. Rule Your Universe is the second step after you've got the You Are the Manual. If I'm saying these things and you're like, I want that. Oh my gosh. And it lights you up and you're like, what if, and you don't know how, you don't know how you're going to do it. I mean, that's my job. But a lot of the people are doing all the doing, reading the books, reading the Gabby Bernstein, watching the Oprah stuff. Like, they've done all the things. There might be tapping, doing this, doing that, but you know what? Their life's the same. And they still feel like the same problems keep popping up in the same way. This program is the next step. It's like you've done a lot of the self-development, the self-help work, and you're ready to actually bring it into being. You're ready to live the life that you've seen in your head and paste it on vision boards and like wished that it will happen and wished and wished and did all the things and it's still not happening. It's for those people.
I love it. I love it. So just to reiterate, guys, Jenna does have You Are the Manual, which is her self-development program, which you guys are going to be able to get on her website. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. Now, the other thing I'm wondering about is one big tool that people love when it comes to working through programs is the accountability component. So what can a potential person that's interested in this program, what can they expect in terms of accountability from you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm like you with me. You are with me and I am with you. So we've got a group and we've got a Facebook group. The weekly calls are 90 minutes and they're on Zoom. And Zoom is a way, if you haven't used it, where like we can see each other face to face. So for like 90 minutes, you're getting one-on-one coaching at a fraction of the price of what my one-on-one coaching normally costs. So you're getting me and then you're getting the group. So there's something about a group that creates a container, creates that mastermind. So a lot of people make alliances in that group and they just enhance each other's experience by being in the group together. The Facebook group, like just free for all, like you say what's going on and we're all going to hold you at your possibility. So there's an incredible amount of, that's why I call it a container, incredible amount of like, you are not alone. Like you enter my universe and I help you create yours. Like that's part of my universe, you know?
Yeah. I honestly think too, one of the most undervalued parts of success is when we have a coach that we do not want to let down. Yeah. Things are totally different, right? When we sign up, we buy a program and we aren't working with a coach one-on-one or we're not having that like accountability. Sometimes it's very easy for things to slip up because you don't have that person that's with you that you're worried of disappointing. But when somebody signs up and they're like, hey, I got this group that I'm working with and I got Jenna and I don't want to disappoint them, right? Yeah. So then we follow through with the things that we were talking about. And I think there is so much power in that. So I love, love, love that you're doing that. So we're going to hook that up in the show notes. Let's get some dates out here too. So when does the program start?
So we are starting the first week of July and it'll be Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Very cool. Very cool. And I'll put the link to sign up in the show notes, guys. And certainly, is email the best way to get a hold of you, Jenna, if they want to chat with you a little more, find out more about the program?
Yeah. I gave you a link to book a call with me, but you can also just email me directly. Or if you like stalk me on Facebook and find me, you can Facebook message me. I'm very open. And I just wanted to say that you don't just walk away feeling good with this program. You actually walk away with a crystal clear plan based on your own soul purpose. So that's another thing. It's like, this isn't just another thing where you learn stuff. Like you're going to walk away with your own soul plan at the end of it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. That's fantastic. So I wrap up every episode of the podcast exactly the same way, Jenna. So how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, I should have listened to some of your podcasts and been prepared for it.
You know what? You're not the first one to say that. But you know what? I'm totally guilty of it. I've been a guest on multiple podcasts and never listened to an episode. I'll be familiar with the person. I'll be familiar with their stuff. But perhaps it's just not, I haven't been on their podcast game and like up to date with all their stuff. So not to worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what worry. Do I want to be remembered for?
Yeah.
I want to be remembered for completely being who I am, being seen for who I am, and inviting others to do the same, to elevate and lift others, to wake up and be here while they're here, and that I myself am going to do that as the first person to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm doing my life. Like, when people see me, they'll see she did her. Like, she went balls out, did everything she said she was going to do and loved it the whole time. And then that activated other people to want to do the same.
I love it. So cool. Good stuff, Jenna. Well, I just want to commend you and thank you for coming on to this evening's podcast with me. It's always great to connect with somebody who's just doing such fabulous things in the world. So thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. It was a great time.
Good stuff. Good stuff. We'll catch you next time, hun.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, hope that you enjoyed that amazing conversation with Jenna. Her energy is incredible. I can literally just feel it oozing in her voice when she talks, and I can definitely feel that coming through on the Skype call. So hope you guys enjoyed. If you're interested in Jenna's program, all of that info is going to be in the show notes. And last but not least, I'm going to plug one more time, because this camp is my baby and it's something that I have been wanting to do for so many years, and I'm so excited about it. So angelahaug.com/events. All the full details are going to be on the website soon. But VIP, early bird list, I want you on that list. I want you to come to camp so that I get to meet you guys. I am so, so excited. Anyways, enough about that. All the details to come. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I appreciate your support. I'm so, so grateful to have you guys along for the ride. Update on prep stuff. I'm 20 and a half weeks out from the UFE Pro World Championships. Still working on getting my ass in gear to get focused for prep, but we're almost there. And I am very grateful that I had this little bit of a break, which is going to allow me to push nice and hard for the final stretch of prep. So yeah, that is what's going on prep-wise. I'll be sharing all of that on my weekly YouTube and yeah, sharing some great tips along the way, both nutritionally and training-wise, so that you can maximize your results too. If there's somebody who you know could benefit from today's episode, I want you to do them a favor, send this over to them. It would be so amazing for people who need this information to have it land in their lap via you. So anyways, I do appreciate you guys. If you liked today's episode or you got some feedback, head on over to iTunes, leave us a rating or leave us a review and let me know what you think. Even if that's that you totally hate us and that you're like, okay, this podcast, not my favorite. I love the feedback. I want to know what you guys are loving, what you're hating, what you're feeling. It's always good to hear from you. And the cool part is, if you think that the podcast is awesome and you're leaving a great review on there, then more people are going to discover the podcast. And that is part of the mission. That's part of the impact. That's part of the legacy. So you want to make sure that if you like it, head on over, spend a few minutes and write just a couple sentences letting me know what you think. That's going to be it for this week, guys. We will catch you in next week's episode. I have a couple of amazing interviews that are coming right around the corner, talking to some really amazing men in the industry. So that's it. Have a great week, and we will catch you next time.